And now I know what you're thinking. This is Easter time, and so, today is Palm Sunday. This is the day the Lord made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem on the donkey. But this is a special day as well for us, because today, this is the first time that I get to partake of the Lord's Supper with you. And so what I'd like to do is talk a little bit about his remembrance, because this is why we do the Lord's Supper. We remember what he accomplished on the cross at Calvary. And so we go through some of this stuff, and I would like to, just to make sure that you're aware of what the Lord's Supper is all about before we partake of that. And so I remember, do you? I hope so. Does anybody know what happened July 1st through July 3rd, 1863? Probably only a couple of you was around back then. That was the Battle of Gettysburg. During that Battle of Gettysburg, thousands of people lost their lives. But when Lincoln came there to give his address, I want you to listen to a portion of what he said. He said, "We have come to dedicate a portion of that field as a final resting place for those who here gave their lives, that that nation might live. It's altogether fitting and proper that we should do this, but in a larger sense, we cannot dedicate, we cannot consecrate, we cannot hallow this ground. The brave men, living and dead, who struggled here have consecrated it far above our power to add or detract. The world will little note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here. It is for the living, rather, to be dedicated here to the unfinished work which they who fought here have thus far so nobly advanced." We probably don't remember all the speeches that everybody gives and all the things that they say, but we do remember the events. And we remember the Battle of Gettysburg. Does anybody know what December 7th, 1941 signified? Oh, that's a good one. Everybody knows that one. Absolutely. That was the day that the Japanese bombed Pearl Harbor. And so on the 8th, Franklin D. Roosevelt gave this speech where he said in partial, at 7:55 a.m. Hawaii time, December 7th, 1941, Japanese fighter planes attacked the U.S. base at Pearl Harbor, Hawaii, launching one of the deadliest attacks in American history. The assault, which lasted less than 2 hours, claimed the lives of more than 2,400 people. 1,000 were wounded or damaged, destroyed nearly 20 American ships and more than 300 airplanes. Almost half of the casualties at Pearl Harbor occurred on the naval battleship, the USS Arizona, which was hit 4 times by Japanese bombers. As we commemorate the anniversary of this date, which will live in infamy. And so we remember that. A lot of us even know that. We weren't alive back then, most of us. But we remember what happened on that date. Matter of fact, they even say that today still leaks out fuel, because there was 1.5 million gallons of fuel that was on there, and it's still leaking out today. But this is the USS Arizona as it sits in Pearl Harbor in Hawaii. And that's what it looks like today. And then in the Daily Bread, December of 2011, it said this: "When a U.S. Navy vessel arrives or departs from a military base in Pearl Harbor, the crew of that ship lines up in dress uniform. They stand at attention at arm's length on the outer edges of the deck, and it's in salute to the soldiers and the sailors and the civilians who died on December 7th, 1941. A very stirring sight, I'm sure, and participants often list that among the most memorable moments in their military career. Even for spectators on the shore, they salute triggers some kind of connection between the servants of today and the servants of yesterday. It grants nobility to the work of today's soldier while giving dignity to the sacrifice of those from the past." And so, when Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper, Matthew 26, verse 26 through 29, it was surely an eye toward creating the same kind of bond or the same kind of connection that they do in our U.S. military today. Our participation in the Lord's Supper honors his sacrifice while also granting us a connection with him unlike any other act of remembrance. Memorial Day, we remember those who gave given their lives in our U.S. Armed Forces. And we thank everyone who served in any military capacity. And so today, we come before in the Lord's Supper to thank the Lord for what He has done for us. And so just as the Navy prescribes the way it salutes its fallen, also too Scripture teaches us how to remember Jesus' sacrifice. Let's open with a word of prayer. Rob Peterson, would you open us up with a word of prayer, please?
Dear Heavenly Father, we love you, Lord. Thank you that we can gather here this morning freely.
Yes.
Circle around your word. Just pray that as we look into the Lord's Supper, the communion, I will look to attend to that, Lord. I pray that you open our hearts, that we will be learn more about you. Thank you and praise you for all things.
Amen. Look with me at 1 Corinthians chapter 11. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, starting in verse 17. The Bible says this. Now, in giving these instructions, I do not praise you since you come together, not for the better, but for the worse. For first of all, when you come together as a church, I hear that there are divisions among you. You ought to mark that in your Bible. And in part, I believe it. For there must also be factions among you, that those who are approved may be recognized among you. Therefore, when you come together in one place, it's not to eat the Lord's Supper. For in eating, each one takes his own supper ahead of others. One's hungry, another's drunk. What do you have? Do you not have houses to eat and to drink in? Or do you despise the church of God and shame those who have nothing? What shall I say? Shall I praise you in this? I do not praise you. So, when Paul gets into the Lord's Supper here, he wants to make it very, very crystal clear that they had a problem in the church at Corinth, and that was unity. They were not unified. And so upon taking the Lord's Supper, it caused a lot of problems for some of those people. And so he says, I'm not praising you in anything that you're doing. You're partaking the Lord's Supper in an unworthily manner, as he says. He says, there's divisions among you. See, the problem is that they were not all on the same page. There was arguments that arose in the church at Corinth. There were so many things that these guys were divided against. There's arguments and there's division and people were against people. And they were showing partiality because some people had the ability to bring their own Lord's Supper to the church. Other people were so poor they couldn't afford it. So when they came, the rich people, they partook of the Lord's Supper and didn't give anything for the others that had come for the same purpose. And so he says, don't you have houses that to eat and drink in? When you come together to be unified. You're all to be unified. And so 1 Corinthians 14:33, Paul says, you know, God is a God of order, and we're to do things out of order. And when we're not unified, that's definitely not in God's order. Especially when there's arguments and there's discussions and there's so many differences. Now listen, I want to say this to our shame, but here's the idea. False cults have it better than we do. And I don't say that with a light voice, because here's the idea. And we talked a little bit about this on Wednesday. But when certain cults come together, they come together and they're completely unified. Matter of fact, they don't even speak up against something they may disagree with. There is not one argument. There is not one anything. And this is the verse they use. Listen to 1 John chapter 1, verse 3 to 7. John writes this. He says, that which we have seen and we have heard, we declare to you, that you also may have fellowship with us. And truly, our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. That God is light, and in Him is no darkness at all. If we say that we have fellowship with Him and we walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. Here's the idea, and I'm not speaking ill of some organizations, but when Jehovah's Witnesses come together and they have their meetings, there is not one argument during that meeting, ever. Now, I don't know, I don't attend their meetings, and so I don't know firsthand. I'll take somebody else's word for it. I doubt I'll ever go to them. But here's the idea, and this is what I'm told, that they never, absolutely never, never, ever argue. They never argue. There is never a division among them. They never have one complaint. Everybody is exactly on the same page. And they use that verse to proclaim that they have the truth because they all walk in fellowship with one another. And see, they say, you guys don't walk in fellowship. There's divisions among you. You guys are so divided. There's all kinds of stuff there. So the Bible says, and they even use their own verse against us. And they say, the Bible says that you're a liar and you don't have the truth within you. What a shame. What a shame. And that's what Paul's saying. You guys are doing the Lord's Supper and you're not even unified together. You haven't even come together for the same purpose. We need to be on the same page. Amos chapter 3 verse 3 says, can two walk together unless they're agreed? We all need to be on the same page. And so that's what Paul says that we're to examine ourselves. Look at verse 27 and 28. Paul says this, therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and the blood of the Lord. You know when he talks about the body and the blood? You know what the body of Christ is? Yes, we lift the cracker up as his body. But you know what his body also is? It's the church. And that's the idea. We're breaking the unity up of Christ's body. Not only his literal body as we do in the remembrance of his supper, but also the body of Christ, the church, when we don't do this in unity. And he says in verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. So this is why we have a moment of self-examination before we partake of the Lord's Supper, because we don't want anybody to partake of that in an unworthily manner. And so we don't want to have divisions. Everybody needs to be on the same page. So you need to get right with God, and if need be, you need to get right with another believer. If you're not right with another believer, then you probably shouldn't take the Lord's Supper. That's the problem that these guys were taking in the Corinthian church. They weren't partaking in a worthily manner. And so, in 1 Corinthians, look at verse 30. Chapter 11, verse 30, he says, for this reason many are weak and sick among you, and many sleep. Many were sick and many died because they were ununified and taking the Lord's Supper. It wasn't for the purpose. Some just came to get drunk. Some just came to have a meal. Some people, it's to come to remember what Christ did on the cross of Calvary. We're here for a purpose. And that's to give God glory in everything that we do. And this includes the Lord's Supper. Then he said, look at verse 23 to 26. Well, how are we to do this? Well, Paul says, for I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it. He said, take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. In the same way, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this is the cup, is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. And Paul said, for as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are proclaiming the Lord's death till he comes back. Listen, we can do this as often or as little as we want. There's no prescribed way to do this. And so we've come this morning to partake of the Lord's Supper. And this is what I want you to understand. This act of remembrance should be done in reverence and thanksgiving, which serves to honor Christ's past action, which gives purpose to our present service. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we thank you for this day. Lord, may we examine ourselves in a way that would be worthy to come before your table, Lord. And so I pray as we're about to give a self-examination, Father, if there's someone that does not know your Son, Jesus Christ, well, may he come forward, Lord, so we can show them what your word says it takes to have heaven and eternal life. And Father, as we talk about some prescriptions of who is allowed to take the Lord's Supper, may this prick the hearts of your people, Lord, if someone here has not been baptized. Father, maybe understand the seriousness of what that means. And so, as we give our self-examination, Father, if there's someone that is not unified with another believer, Lord, may they come and get right with each other as we give this time of self-examination. And so, God, we want to honor you. We want to magnify and lift your name here this morning. And so it's in Christ's name that we pray all this stuff. Amen.